Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Netflix kicks off its assortment of new series in March next Friday with Northern Rescue. It's a hometown family adventure in more ways than one. Creator and showrunner David Kurmikin joins me next from Toronto. If you turn to Uplift early tomorrow night, you can catch Holy Broken, a dramatic exploration and a musical one of faith and community. We'll speak with creator, director, and star Tom Humbert later this hour. Also ahead, Jesse Smut, Empire Future, and our new classic trivia winner. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival, and the leading provider of spoken digital entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book, actually now three free books, in English and now in Spanish when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. 43 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. Nice, bright, and sunny. And we welcome you on this Friday afternoon to the program All About Television. Some wonderful guests coming your way over the next hour and change. And as always, we invite you to be part of the program. So give us a ring, and here's the number you use, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The numbers get anywhere. You're catching us across the country and around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And we've got a chat room open for business, so check it out on our homepage. That's SimonApple04. My name is the chat room, and the homepage is blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use the phone or the room. Either way, we will hear you. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk or Speaker screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. David Kurmikin from Northern Rescue and Don Comedy Television joins us live from Toronto after these news notes. At this very hour, Jesse Smollett remains a co-star on Empire. However, his character has been written out of the final two episodes of the popular Fox musical drama's current season, number 5, still being filmed in Chicago. The decision came after Smollett was arrested by Chicago police yesterday, charged with disorderly conduct and filing a false hate crime report. Smollett posted a $100,000 bond during a court appearance yesterday afternoon. In a statement from Empire's executive producers released this morning, the decision was made to, and I quote, avoid further disruptions on set. The statement also noted in part, and again I quote, Jesse has been an important member of our Empire family for the past 5 years, and we care about him deeply. While these allegations are very disturbing, we are placing our trust in the legal system as the process plays out. Lawyers for Smollett maintain their client is innocent of filing a false police report of an assault against him in Chicago on January 29th. Fox kicks off the second half of Empire season March 13th and is expected to greenlight season 6 by mid-spring. A pair of on-set injuries yesterday has brought production of L.A.'s Finest to a temporary halt. Two people were taken to local hospitals in Los Angeles after a stunt car accident happened. The situation did not involve co-stars Gabrielle Union or Jessica Alba. L.A.'s Finest remains on track to debut mid-May on Charter cable systems nationwide. Now some quickies. CBS will give Young Sheldon two more seasons, keeping the Big Bang Theory prequel on its lineup through 2021. And the CW will graduate CWC digital attraction I Ship It to its schedule April 19th. The musical comedy half hour takes place at a boutique shipping agency. And the first season is currently running on CWC. And when it goes to CW in April, you will see second season episodes. That is news notes for today. Earlier this week, Netflix announced that they are launching a new big production hub in Toronto, and that's where we find our first guest of the hour. He is the president and partner of Don Comedy Television, a popular place of scripted television that supplies shows to Netflix and other places all over the place from Canada, some of which, by the way, has been Emmy-nominated. And the latest production from Don Comedy premieres 1 week from today on Netflix. It's called Northern Rescue. And again, joining us live from Toronto and in our radio exclusive is the program's creator, producer, and showrunner, David Kurmikin. David, welcome in.
Hey, Simon. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
It is a pleasure. How did Northern Rescue happen?
Well, it's a bit of a co-creation between a couple of us, but it was one of those shows that was born out of a desire for doing some programming that was a little more hopeful and uplifting, you know, some more family values going. You know, Don and myself have done several shows over the last couple of years, but they've all been a little more sort of genre skewing, I would say, dark and edgy. And this one was born out of a desire and a need to have programming that we could sit down and watch with our kids, and then also with our parents and aunts and uncles as well, and it's with everyone in between.
I know to the T that this is a family adventure, but it is different in many different ways. And one of those ways is that normally when you have adventure shows like this, I think back sometimes to shows like Sea Hunt and Whirly Birds and Ripcord and Rescue 8 back in the late 50s, early 60s. While they had very strong lead characters, you didn't find out a lot about them. In this program, you do.
Absolutely. I would say that the rescues and the searchings that are going on are more secondary to the actual characters and the family themselves. You know, we really sort of, with the name of the show being Northern and Rescue, you know, Rescue being the title, but we try to use every sense of that word. And so we are sort of watching the family rescue each other emotionally more so every episode. And then, of course, Dad, being played by Billy Baldwin, you know, he plays a search and rescue officer. And so we are using him as a vehicle. We're able to bring in some peril and jeopardy to each episode through the missions that he's going on. But those missions also affect him because he's still dealing with the grief and loss of his wife, you know, and sort of co-partner in maintaining this family. And so through these missions and rescues, he's also able to see and really sort of evaluate his own life and see how he's potentially putting his family into further jeopardy through these harrowing missions that he's on.
Was the series triggered by an actual person in search and rescue? Was it triggered by incidents that these people dealt with?
Well, initially, we didn't realize we were sort of going along the lines of a first responder for him until we started to break out the series a little further. And then it was just determined that search and rescue is really sort of where we wanted to land. We've seen a lot of, you know, police and fire shows, but I don't think we've ever really truly sort of delved into the search and rescue as a genre. And that sort of happened because a couple of us on the writing side, we have some contacts and colleagues that are working in search and rescue. And so we became fascinated with that as an arena and using that as like a catapult for story and, you know, in jeopardy throughout the season.
David, give me a sense of the timeline under which the show gelled and finally got into production. Was there an obstacle along the way to that you had to overcome to make it happen, or was it pretty much smooth sailing once you created the idea along with your colleagues to get it on the air and part through Netflix?
Yeah, I mean, Don and I have been very aggressive in terms of developing projects over the last couple of years. And we've sort of determined to, and this is prior to even sort of working with Netflix on Between being our first show with them, we started to invest heavily in development from the script stage and sort of absent of a broadcaster. And that was just so that we could be a little bit more in control of the creative. And when we go out to start pitching, that we're delivering something that we truly believe in. And, you know, we're making it for a very targeted audience. And so that was sort of what led me to discussions with Netflix in that, you know, we're sort of doing a bit of a catch up at the Banff World Media Festival. I guess it had been 2 years ago now, and sitting down there chatting with Larry Tans and his team, we were just sort of going through some of the other properties that we'd worked on and what they're looking for. And they were the ones that sort of asked me if we had anything in the family drama realm. And it was a bit surprising to me because everything that we had done with them had been either a period piece or something sort of a little more in the sci-fi, you know, genre, you know. So it took me by surprise, but it just so happened that we had already, you know, developed two scripts for Northern Rescue. And I shared them. And within a couple of weeks, we actually had our first offer on the table, which was fantastic. And, you know, sort of we worked simultaneously to package the show as well. And we had been in discussions with Billy Baldwin at that point, who had read the first script, really fallen in love with the character and loved sort of the angle that we were taking on family. And so it really started to snowball really quickly from there. The CBC also jumped on as our Canadian broadcast partner. And so we, you know, I would say a couple months of that initial meeting, we were already sort of in green light discussions and moving towards prep.
Northern Rescue premieres 1 week from today on Netflix, available on all smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And in Canada, it's also premiering on the CBC streaming service. It's also available on smart TV sets and devices up there. I know we have a lot of people listening to us all across the Canadian provinces, and we appreciate all of you being aboard. David Kamikin is not only the creator and showrunner of this series, he is also the president and partner of Don Comey Television, one of the major suppliers of Canadian-based scripted and unscripted shows to the United States and all around the world. And he's with us live from Toronto right here. This half hour on Tomorrow will be televised. So I'm Applebaum with you live from New York. Glad you're with us wherever you're catching us on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. You have a question or a comment for David, give us the ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04, my name guest 118, just enter the room. On Sunday night, we'll find out whether The Green Book will become the best picture and win a few other Academy Awards along the way as well. And on Monday night, Smithsonian Channel is presenting a documentary about that very special document, The Green Book. It turned out to be a way that African Americans would use this annual document not just as a part travel guide, but a part survival guide. I had a chance to see this special Wednesday night at the Schoenberg Center in Harlem here in NYC. And let me tell you, it's a very moving, kind of special. We will have the executive producer, Linda Goldman, live as our lead guest Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. And if you haven't heard about the Smithsonian Channel special, let me tell you, it's must-see television. And for those of us who know New York journalism, there's one segment that has one of the pioneers of African-American broadcast journalism here in New York during the 1970s, Carol Jenkins, that is really something special. Where for the first time, she talks about one of her family members who was involved in a residence in the Green Book, but also was involved, I don't want to get too many spoilers, in the civil rights movement with Dr. Martin Luther King. That segment alone is worth the price of watching this program. I think you'll really enjoy it. And once again, Linda Goldman will be with us live Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Tell It. Don't forget, of course, the Oscars Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, on your local ABC station. David, talk more about this series because, as I said, there's a lot of interesting plot points here. It's about search and rescue. It's about a family. It's about a family sort of in new waters going from the city to the big countryside. There's all sorts of ways that plots develop.
Yeah, absolutely. And for us, it really, you know, as much as we love these rescue and the, you know, the search aspects that are going on, it really sort of came back to the family. And the more in which we sort of realized as well where we were shooting, which was up in Parry Sound, we started to realize how beautiful it was and how much the camera would just fall in love with where we were. And so we actually started, you know, scenes that were originally destined and written to be interior, you know, say of the cafe or the home where they're living in, we would all of a sudden go, you know what, let's take this outside. Let's do this here. Let's place this by the water. Let's place this over by the train bridge. And really start to take advantage of some of those exterior locations that we had. So it's really nice, organic sort of back and forth we had between the story and the plot, where we just sort of start to place it where it was most beautiful sometimes, as opposed to where we had originally envisioned it.
What about Billy Baldwin's character? What kind of character is it? How did you shape it?
Well, I would say that the role of John West is almost, you know, Billy was attracted to us initially because, you know, he had worked obviously across Backdraft throughout his career. He's done a lot of other, you know, playing, you know, first responders. So it was a bit of a natural. This role kind of harks back to those Backdraft days where we sort of see him in this very heroic, you know, sort of environment. What we do though is we kind of play counterpoint to that, where this man is, you know, excellent, if not pristine, in his search and rescue efforts. However, he, you know, he's not necessarily the best when he's got to play both mom and dad, you know, because he wasn't even necessarily the greatest at playing dad. But, you know, now you throw both roles at him, plus he still has his job on top of this. And he's, I don't want to say floundering, but he's doing the best that he can. And so we really like to sort of, especially for those scenes with John, we really want to sort of give him that those learning lessons as well. But he's, you know, at the end of the day, his heart's always in the right place. So I think audiences are really going to fall in love with him. And I think, you know, I could be wrong here, but I think it's some of the best work, you know, that I've seen of Billy's career. And I'm really excited for us to share it with the world. And I think Billy is too. So that's great.
There's another layer of drama here, and that is how both Baldwin's character and the family as a whole deals with loss. And if that isn't enough, there is another character who is played by Kathleen Robertson of Murderer of the First Fame. That's, of course, the final series that Stephen Bosco did before he passed away. That ran several seasons on TNT, where she plays the aunt of the family, and she also has a loss to deal with.
Yeah, Kathleen plays a really complex character that, I think a lot of people would just maybe write off and say, oh, she's just the grieving aunt, and she's going to come in and sort of bounce in, provide some comic relief and jump out type of thing. But Kathleen has brought so many layers to this character that, you know, she is now a person who is wanted and hoped for her own family, but for, you know, circumstances in her life, she's been denied that till now. And so this is an opportunity for her character to sort of step into this family in a little bit more of a meaningful way. You know, maybe it's not the family that she had hoped for, in terms of kids of her own, but it's a family for now, and it's one that she already loves. And so we sort of get to see her step into this role where she is far from mom, but she has to step past that level of being the cool aunt, you know, because she actually has to do some parenting because John, the father, is not around all the time. So Kathleen's been able to bring these incredible, you know, depth and layer to this character through her past relationships, with some of the other characters that we weave into this season, and her efforts to have her own family. And we sort of see what that's like. And it sort of blows to a head every now and then between her and John, with her character, because of how dismissive he might be sometimes, not sort of seeing the, you know, how it might be impacting her from her point of view.
Speaking of weaving, another one of the main plot lines is how this family and the individual characters adapt to the new surrounding, not just the new job, but also the new surroundings, the people in the community, dealing with a whole different environment, how you accept the community or don't. And how does that weave in throughout the episodes?
Well, I think initially everyone sort of meets it with resistance. You know, they had a life in Boston that they were loving, and it was working really well for them up until their mother died. And their dad sort of rips them out and decides, you know what, new life, new friends, new family, you know, in terms of the structure itself. And so why not? Let's move to a new city so we get some new impetus and new school and friends and all that sort of stuff. And I think initially all of the kids are kind of bumping against it. And, you know, you sort of see that, whether they bump against it, truthfully and honestly, openly with their father, or some of them hide it and pretend to be okay with it. But ultimately, it takes them a little while to adjust to life in the new town. And of course, you know, with life in a new school, you start to meet new characters and new friends. And so I think that sort of helps them settle in. And it also, being a bit of an outsider in this new arena for them, allows them a different outlet for their grief to sort of channel that through. And being surrounded by this beautiful nature, which they weren't really in the big city, is a chance for them to sort of experience their loss and their grief in and amongst, you know, a very beautiful setting, but it allows them a bit of quiet to have these more pensive moments where we really sort of get in there with the characters and their emotion.
Given that, as you said earlier, a number of people on your writing staff have connections one way or another to the search and rescue operation or being first responders, what about that group of people or their practices or what they deal with? Let's say you wanted to bring something fresh to the table through these episodes, through the writing, directing, something new about maybe a situation about search and rescue that people don't identify with, that maybe now they have an opportunity to.
Yes, I mean, when we write, we always like to write from truth. And so almost anything that you will see in our show is based on an actual incident that's happened. And that's been confirmed, not necessarily through each of ourselves individually, but it's through some that we know. Or a consultant that we worked with on the show. And it's funny too, because when you put stuff in there, sometimes what actually happened in real life is far too wild and outlandish that if you put it in TV, people they'll call you on it and say that could never really happen. You know, it seems too coincidental. But one of the things that we sort of found working with everyone on this is that we worked with several of the local search and rescue teams in Parry Sound. And we sort of brought them in to consult with us. And it's what's been great is that as they've sort of seen the show evolve as well, they've now sort of come out of their way to give us additional stories and more inspiration for, you know, subsequent seasons as well. So it's been really nice to see that buy-in. And it's also been nice to see that where we sort of initially started, we weren't that far off from the mark, you know, in terms of what actually sort of happens or where the priority or chain of command would land and that type of thing.
We're speaking with David Kamikian. He is the creator, showrunner, and producer of Northern Rescue. It's the first of Netflix's Parade of Newmark series. It premieres 1 week from today over smart TV sets and smart TV devices. If you have one, you got Netflix. And David joins us live from Toronto this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Sam, have fun with you live from New York. Happy you are aboard, wherever you are this Friday afternoon. 43 degrees here, top of the hour in New York. Maybe near 60 after either rain or snowstorm sometime during the course of late Saturday night, early Sunday morning over the weekend. If a question or comment, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And 1 week from today, one of our guests on Tomorrow We Televise will be, for the first time, we've got an executive producer of American Idol, starting his second season next weekend on ABC, Trish Kanacki. That's for 1 week from today, live with us right here on Tomorrow We Televise. As mentioned earlier, David, Netflix this week announced that they are launching a new production hub in Toronto. What's been the reaction all over the country, not to mention your town, to what Netflix is going to do?
I think it's a combination of excitement and worry for studio space for other programs that maybe aren't necessarily with Netflix. As you may or may not be aware, shooting in Toronto has been booming for the last couple of years, and studio space is at a very big premium. We just simply don't have enough space at the moment to handle all of the productions that we have. I think we have over or close to $3 billion worth of production currently going on an annual basis within the city. And, you know, we can't build stages fast enough. And so it's a great you know, vote of confidence in the Toronto production community, in the Ontario community, and also in the Canadian talent, you know, and crews that we have. It's a vote of confidence in the maturation and the level of talent that we have here. But it's a little scary for other productions that may be, you know, on the verge of green light or getting their full financing, who don't have their studio spaces booked yet, because now those spaces are going to be booked out for, you know, the foreseeable future. So it's, you know, sort of bittersweet, but more sweet than bitter, I would say.
And I understand that one of the first productions is going to be a brand new anthology series that was announced last year by Guillermo Toro, who won the Oscar a year ago for Shape of Water. And Netflix Planet was very excited about bringing more production work to Toronto, not just from Toronto itself, but from all over Canada.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely going to be the case. You know, their production volume in Canada and in Ontario has only grown, and I think it's only going to continue. You know, and we hope to continue to work alongside them with our productions as well.
So not only do you have this role, but your day job is to be the president and partner of Dawn Promoting Television, which is making this, but also has a very good track record in terms of other shows, scripted and unscripted, from Canada that have done very well here in the United States and elsewhere. What's on the agenda for the rest of 2019?
Well, we've got a couple of series that are in development at the moment. One is with the CBC. It's based on the book called Forgiveness, which won the Canada Reads competition in 2018. And it's a Japanese-Canadian story, again, centered around the internment of Japanese-Canadians throughout and following World War II. And so that one, we're hoping to sort of move forward with that a little later this year with an ideal air date of sometime in 2020. And then the other project that we're working on is right now with Red Arrow Studios International. And it's a project that we've announced previously called Bloodhorn, which is set in the world of anti-poaching in South Africa. And so those are sort of the two projects that I would say are sort of front and center for us in terms of our development slate. There's, of course, many others, but those are the two that really sort of have a lot of our attention at the moment.
Do you get a chance to go to a television festival not only across the United States, but also across Canada? I'm not sure what the Canadian television festival scene is like, but I'm wondering if you go to a place like Banff or other places and try to find new talent that you can develop into people doing scripted or unscripted work.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a bunch of festivals that I attend, you know, on a fairly annual basis, Banff being one of them. There's also the Primetime conference that happens in February in Ottawa in terms of Canada festivals. TIFF obviously is more feature film oriented, but as I think everyone's aware, a lot of the conversation at even Cannes and all the other film festivals is TV based. So it's kind of neat where we're seeing this merging of both film and television at the moment going on. So I don't think there's necessarily any sort of exclusions in terms of the conversations that can be had at either festival. So those are sort of the three, I would say, across Canada that are the ones we hit on a regular basis. We're also coming up to our awards season here in the country, where we've combined all the film and the television shows, and they culminate in the Canadian Screen Awards, and those are coming up in March. And so that's an opportunity for the entire industry to get together and sort of celebrate our successes over the past year. It's also a great opportunity for networking and discovering new talent as well.
And I believe some of the Netflix shows out of Canada, including one that we've covered called Anne with an E, for Marvel Beckett of Breaking Bad fame, is up for some of those awards.
That's very true. Yeah, absolutely. There's quite a few of them. I believe another one that has just been picked up by Netflix called Bad Blood has also gotten several nominations this year. And I want to say Working Moms has also got some Netflix support, and they've got several nominations this year as well.
If you get a second season from Netflix, how do you want to, you and your crew want to expand the story of this family?
Ooh, well, I don't want to give too much away in terms of how it ends in season one, but I would like to sort of see where we get the family. You know, we basically sort of end the season where we've pulled the family apart in some ways, and season two is about getting the family back together again. And that's very much sort of what season one was in a lot of respects. And again, I know you don't have the benefit of having seen it all right now, but you will once you get into it. So I think we'd like to go a little further in those relationships, again, playing with that definition of what family is and how that's a little more malleable these days. And it's more the family you get to choose sometimes, as opposed to the family that's thrust upon you. But also, you know, I think we'd like to also go a little deeper in terms of, you know, maybe some people eating their words, you know, in terms of what they thought their definition of family might be and where they thought it would go and where it needs to go. And so I think that's part of the themes that we're going to play with for second season, if we're so fortunate to get there.
Northern Rescue, starring Billy Baldwin and Kathleen Robinson, premieres 1 week from today on Netflix. It's available on all smart TV sets and smart devices here in these United States. And if you're up in Canada, you can also check it out on the CBC's streaming service, also available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. For more details about the program online, go to www.netflix.com. That's www.netflix.com. Northern Rescue, premiering 1 week from today. David Kamekin, president and partner of Dog Comedy Television, the people making this series, and also the creator and showrunner of this program. Thank you again for joining us. Good luck with the series starting next week, and hopefully it's the beginning of a great long run.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Simon. I really appreciate your time today and the interest, and we'll catch you guys online.
You got it, David. Take care. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
David Kamekin from Don Comedy Television, Northern Rescue, joining us live from Toronto, Canada. More Toronto Televised coming away, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. Have you heard? Audible is going Espanol. That's right. Now there's a brand new part of Audible.com, and you can take part in it, if you like, by getting a free trial offer. It's Audible Latino. Thousands of new titles of Spanish language audiobooks. All different categories, all different genres, and that includes also original material, and especially for Audible. And all you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/televised and get yourself a 30-day, one-month trial offer where you can get not one, not two, but three free audiobooks, either in English or Spanish, one from the great collection of over 180,000 titles of all different kinds, and the growing collection of Audible originals, everything from original productions to off-Broadway, Broadway and regional theater programming to one-woman, one-man shows. And that's, again, both in English and in Spanish. And remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment information. And remember, you can listen to any Audible title on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now. That's Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, iHeartRadio. Remember, Just sign up at audibletrial.com. You get 3 free audiobooks and a 1-month trial of the service, 2 from Audible Originals and 1 from the Great Catalog. And again, both in English or Spanish. So whatever language you pick, give audible.com a try and hear for yourself why audible.com will transform the way you hear the world. When we come back, our new classic trivia question winner, and yes, the answer to that Room 222 question we've been offering for the last 2 weeks. But first, a very unique musical drama that also has a lot of faith and a lot of community. It's called Holy Broken. You will meet the person behind it, creator, director, and star, Tom Hupfer. We'll join him live from Garden City, New York, after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio and www.spreaker.com, together reaching over 30 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, Monday through Friday, it's Kings in the Morning on BTR. That's 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, Jay King and crew. They never fail to entertain you. That's Kings in the Morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, Monday through Friday, right here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. Remember, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to more of Tomorrow Be Televised this Friday afternoon. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Glad you're joining us along the Blog Talk Radio and Speaker Way, also on the Our Radio Podcast Network. Another great guest coming your way in a half hour ahead. Plus our classic trivia questions, new winner. So if you have a question or comment for our guest, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 0419, guest 118 is in the room. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. One of the great things about doing this program is that we have the flexibility and the editorial freedom to introduce you to TV shows you might not get introduced otherwise. And you never know, it might become a hit if you take the leap of faith and get involved. And in fact, that's what our program that we're going to highlight next is all about. It's about leaps of faith and community, and yes, there's even some musical songs in the process. The program, which we found out about just this week from a PR Newswire release, is called Holy Broken. It premieres tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on a service called Uplift TV. It's available on cable and satellite. It's from Olympusat, the distributor based in Florida, of all sorts of interesting channels, both in English and Spanish. And it's also available on the Powerful TV programming service, available on smart TV sets and devices. Joining us now in an internet radio exclusive is the creator, director, and star of Holy Broken, live from Garden City in Nassau County, Long Island, Tom Hupfer. Tom, thanks for coming on board.
Hey, Simon, thank you for having me. I'm really looking forward to speaking with you about this project.
And same on our end, too, Tom. I understand it's a project that has been 6-7 years in the making.
Yeah, you know, it started, believe it or not, around the year 2012, and it started because of all of those horrific events that were taking place in the United States and other places throughout the world, but especially the one that I'm referring to that was sort of the tipping point for me personally was the July 20th, 2012 shooting in the movie theater. I believe it was a Century 21 movie theater in Colorado during a viewing, a midnight showing of a film. And a gentleman came in with a gun and started shooting everyone in the movie theater. And, you know, up to that point, my life was filled with music and performing, and everything centered around that professional career choice that I was lucky enough to have a career in. You know, it's difficult to have a career in this business, and it chooses you. You don't choose it. What I mean by that is that you either work and you have a, you know, people want to hear what you're doing musically, or you are not going to work because people are not going to want to hear what you're doing musically. So I was lucky enough to have that career choice, and around that was always my faith, my desire to be part of a larger community of people who believe in God. And so I said to myself, you know, I need to do something on a larger scale here, and I wanted to create something that could cross barriers and hopefully touch people in a way that could bring us together as a community and try and make sense out of these senseless killings. Shortly after that one, in July 20, 2012, was the shooting at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut, where those 20 children between the ages of 6 and 7 were killed, and 6 adults as well. And that's close to where I live in Garden City, New York. And I just said, you know what, now I'm all in. I'm going to create a program that's going to deal with the things that we suffer with, it seems like, unfortunately, too often today. And yet bring in that element of where is God during all of this, and how does that relate and help us and see us through in our times of struggle or questioning or issues that we really can't put our arms around because they are so senseless.
What was the turning point in getting this series A produced, B finding a home for it?
Well, getting it produced was a little bit more difficult than I think finding a home for it. You know, you have to find people that believe in you and that will support you and that will understand what your vision is. And so having been in this business for 30 years, there are some people in my life that I have been fortunate enough to support me, but I've never done anything this grand. I guess if I give you a little backstory, if that's all right, Simon, I had my first CD produced by Kathleen McVetti of JSC Music Productions, and she led me into believing that there are people out there that would like to hear my original compositions and my singing voice. And so we put together an album of faith, and it was recorded in Manhattan with some of the greatest Broadway players that are still out there, like Jim Pugh, who's a trombonist, and Roger Lee, who's a trumpeter, and some other major heavy hitters in the music world. Well, that was at the turn of the new millennium in the year 1999-2000. And since then, I've continued with my writing of music, songs of faith, songs that are more Broadway type, some songs that are a little bit more jazz, American songbook type. And then finally, I guess, when all of these, you know, 9/11 happens, and then after 9/11, all of these other events keep happening, there just felt like a need for programming on television where people can, you know, watch, still have a great entertainment value, and yet have a message of hope and lead us to say, even though we're all messed up, because everyone is, everyone has a problem, no one is immune from problems, but even though we are all messed up, God loves us, and God is with us, and there is hope for a better tomorrow. And that's what I wanted to put out there. So thankfully enough, Parables TV and Uplift TV on DirecTV, you know, they were good enough to support this. And now here we go. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. I am so thrilled for this release.
Hearing Tom Humbert, he is the creator, director, and the star of Holy Broken. It's a new television series, musical, dramatic, faith, hope, and a few other things too. And it all begins tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Uplift TV. It is a TV service available on cable and satellite in areas around the country. In other areas, it's on the Parable TV streaming service, available on smart TV sets and some smart TV devices. And Tom joins us live from Garden City, Long Island, great part of Nassau County, New York, here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tom F. I'm with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment for Tom, don't be shy. Make your move. Call 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Again, coming up Monday on the program, after the Oscars lets us know whether the Green Book will take home some of those Academy trophies, we'll have Linda Goldman. She's the executive producer of a very revelatory documentary, The Green Book, A Guide to Survival. And it premieres tomorrow on Monday night on Smithsonian Channel. Linda joins us live as our lead guest Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on the Mobby Televised. We'll also find out how the Oscars do in viewership. Will it be another big fall for the Oscars after last year, or will it grow? We'll find out, give you the early results. That's again Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom, let's talk about the series. First, before we get to the series and how it goes, was this self-funded, or did you think about getting crowdfunding or getting support from outside players to make this happen?
Yeah, originally I wanted to get some outside help, and of course that's always very difficult. So I basically called on favors from friends and of course, from some of the funds that I've saved over the years, and I thought what a good way to put the money to use.
So let's talk about the series. It's about a priest who has gone through hard times, both personally and with his church or parish, and it's about how a lot of things get repaired. His faith, his relationships with people, his relationships with his congregation, his relationships with his community. Take us through how the series evolves.
Oh, yeah, great question. Yes, he's not a priest. He's a minister. He's a minister of a Catholic, he's a minister of a Christian church. And, well, what happens basically, the tagline that I love to use is a Holy Broken is about a not-so-holy, well, first of all, Simon, if I could just make sure that everyone understands, Holy Broken is spelled with a W, so W-H-O-L-L-Y, Holy Broken. And purposefully chosen that way because we are all human beings. We are all connected. We all bleed the same color blood, and we all eat the same way, and we all, you know, cry tears. So holy and then broken. I like to say that Holy Broken is a television musical series that is about a not-so-holy minister who tries to heal a broken community. And so the way the story evolves is the pastor Tom is actually in a relationship, married for 4 years, and his wife has an abortion, and she does it in a way that he's not aware of this until after the fact. It causes the pastor to go into a very dark place, as many of us do when we deal with tragedy. And of course, when he comes back from his stint at rehab, other events are taking place, and he tries to pick up the pieces. And in the meanwhile, there are other storylines that are going on. Now, the nice thing about this film, the pilot, which is airing tomorrow night, as you mentioned, is that it is a musical. So if you could just imagine A Star is Born, which is one of the nominated films for the Academy Awards, the Oscars, on Sunday night, it's sort of like that, but there is a faith element to this. So it's almost like La La Land with a little bit of faith. And it gives us that type of entertainment value and yet that sense of hope.
Who else is in the cast, and how many episodes did you do?
Okay, so the cast, I am so excited about this, Simon. The cast is just one of the greatest blessings in my life that I've ever had as far as a performer, as a musician, a singer. So right off the bat, Martha Wash is one of our co-stars, and Martha is the original member, one of the two original members of the Weather Girls. And the Weather Girls are the wonderful group, singing group back in the 80s, who sang It's Raining Men, Hallelujah. And boy, is she great. She sings the hit song called Come Into the Light. And she just kills it. She kills it. So very excited about Martha Wash. And she is such a star. Of course, she has her Grammy Awards and all of that. And so now she's branching out into film. And I couldn't be happier to have her in this. Also, we have Terry Kahn and Alicia Minshew. And these two lovely young ladies also have their Emmy Awards or their Emmy nominations for daytime soaps. They were both on All My Children and I believe One Life to Live. So they are just fabulous, fabulous actresses and very popular. And that's Alicia Minshew and Terry Kahn. And, of course, there's Lou Martini Jr., who plays my buddy in the film. He's just a wonderful actor, and he's done many things, as far back as The Godfather, for example. So that was many years ago, and he's a consummate professional. I'd also like to mention Rick Zahn. Rick Zahn is on TV often. He has many small roles on very large popular shows, such as Bull. I believe Bull is on once a week, mainline TV, and other shows. So, just a tremendous cast. And forgive me if I forget some of the cast members at this point. There are Broadway stars, believe it or not. Nina LaFarga is right now on Broadway performing in Frozen. And she plays a wonderful, wonderful character named Isabel, a 32-year-old single mother with a 16-year-old daughter. And many of us can relate to those storylines right there. So, yeah, the cast is just fantastic. And I know people will find a lot of entertainment value. And hopefully they'll love the songs and they'll love the storyline. And can't wait to see what happens next. Because, unfortunately, we only made the pilot movie. And we haven't made the other episodes. But we are prepared and we are ready to make episodes 2 through 7. We just are looking for some investors to get behind this project.
Where did you shoot? Was it pretty much in Garden City, or did you go throughout Long Island, the five boroughs in New York City? Where did you make things happen?
Yeah, well, the cool thing about that is we did a lot of the shooting on location in the Hamptons. And the Hamptons are an iconic place. People all over the world know about the Hamptons. So we thought it would be really interesting if we filmed it in the Hamptons and used a storyline there where, you know, people think there's rich and famous people in the Hamptons. Well, yes, that's very true. But let me tell you, there's also very poor, very, you know, down-to-earth, hardworking people. And it sort of plays against type, if you will. You know, you have this feeling of rich and powerful, and then you have this real other side of it, which is the hard working class and people who are struggling. We found a church in the Hamptons that has a food pantry, and in their community, they serve over 1,000 families a week. So you could tell that there's a lot of people who are struggling in the Hamptons. So we filmed it in the Hamptons mostly, and then we used a soundstage as well in upstate New York.
We are speaking with Tom Humbert, and he is the creative director and star of Holy Broken. And the original first episode, which we hope will be the first of many, we will see, premieres tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Pacific time on Uplift TV. Again, that's available by cable and satellite in many areas of the country. In other areas, you can find on smart TV sets and smart devices through the Powerball TV programming service. Tom Drake is live from Long Island, a great part of it, Garden City, Nassau County, close to Queens, at the Firebirds NYC. He's with us this half-hour on Smart Beach Televised. Tom, we have fun with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment or remaining minutes with Tom, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonAtwell04. Coming up next, we have a new Classic Trivia winner. We will tell you who that person is and give you the Classic Trivia answer, tell you about the prize we may be offering next week in that segment. So stay tuned. I think you'll be very interested to hear what popped up. Tom, you mentioned that you're trying to get funding. How is the search for original funding to finish out the season? Also, are you thinking about going to some of the television festivals coming up, including the ones here in New York, like Split Screen, the New York Television Festival, et cetera, to try to get more promotion for your series?
Yeah, listen, we are open to all of those possibilities. I guess the biggest thing for us was last year we were entered into, or chosen rather, I should say, by the International Film Festival of Manhattan, and we were nominated for Best Film United States, because it's an international film festival, so they had two categories, international and national. So we were nominated for Best Film USA, and we were nominated for, actually, I was nominated, and I'm very humbled by this, but I was nominated for Best Actor in a film in the United States at that film festival. So I did not win Best Actor, but I did win, or Holy Broken did win, the Best Film USA category. So we were very, very honored for that. Then last year, it's in June of 2018, we were entered into the Soho Film Festival in Manhattan. And again, we were nominated for Best Film, but we did not win. So that was very exciting. It was just a thrilling experience. And finally, we just got word recently that we have been accepted into the Garden State Film Festival, which will take place the last weekend of March. So that will be coming up very shortly. So Garden State Film Festival is in New Jersey at Asbury Park, and it's open to the public. And it would be great to have people come in and say, hey, I heard you on the radio, and now we're here to check out the film at the film festival. But that's at the end of March. So I guess those type of things are very important. It brings eyeballs to the film and awareness. So hopefully that will continue, and someone might say, hey, I'd love to get behind this and build this with you. On the other hand, there are these conventions, as you mentioned, and there's one called the NRB, which is the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and that's going to be taking place just a few days earlier than the Garden State Film Festival. So it's the last week of March, and it's in Anaheim, California. And sure enough, yeah, there will be people there. I will be there myself. The Parables television team will be there promoting Holy Broken. And we're just trying to build as much awareness to this as possible. And of course, we have wonderful people with the Holy Broken team. You can go to holybroken.com, find out a lot more about Holy Broken, or you could just Google my name, Tom Humbert. I have a website as well, tomhumbertmusic.com, and people can find out so much more about the music and what's available. The nice thing about this, pilot is that we did make a soundtrack, Simon. So we have a wonderful soundtrack with these great singers from Broadway and from, you know, the pop world. And all the songs are available on the soundtrack, and you can download one song or you could download the whole album. So that's out there and available on all of the digital platforms you can imagine.
Incidentally, I've known about NRB for years. They're a terrific organization. I wish we'd get more coverage because they really try to up the quality of religious radio and television, as well as websites too. And so we'll see how that goes. And by the way, have you thought about Tribeca? Because Tribeca has, which is coming up April, May, has a pilot showcase that's been getting bigger and bigger by the year.
Yeah, actually, Tribeca is excellent. You know, hats off to them, and I know a couple of people there who have been there since the ground floor. Unfortunately, I don't think Holy Broken fits into their type of audience or their type of programming that they're looking for. You know, we are definitely a family-friendly, you know, faith-based film or series, hopefully, you know. So I'm not sure if that would fit into their criteria. However, I mean, I would love to explore that because, yes, they are probably – Tribeca Film Festival, I think, and Sundance are probably two of the premier film festivals in the United States. What do you think?
Absolutely, and I know that they have grown their efforts to put more television programming in both those festivals. Back Rebecca now has a separate TV festival, which will go into its third season later this year. And I know that they're, they said, doing both of them are doing much, much more with pilot showcases of different kinds. They're also, in the case of Sundance, the Episodic Television Lab, which is a year-round thing to try to encourage more programming by people of color and try to make pilots and get series out of them as well. So it may be a way to go. Final question before we go, Tom. When do you think you will know when you will go make this a series? Do you have a game plan, a deadline in mind in terms of getting your funding together?
Yeah, Simon, actually I do. That's a great question, Simon. Thank you. I want to say I would like to have a good, firm feeling by May 1st. I have outlines for the entire half season, so episodes 2 through 7. We actually have the first episodes 2, 3, and 4 already written. The songs have already been recorded, and we are ready to go. And the reason why I say May is because that would give us enough time to put together the entire series, episodes 2 through 7, and work the whole storyline, story arc, and get everything in line so that we could film, I would like to say, September of this year, so that we, in fact, could have this all ready to go, you know, by the end of the year for a full release. I don't know if that will be possible, but I pray to God every day, and I'm putting it out there to all your audience members and say, you know what, folks, this is something worthwhile, and it's not cheesy. It's a real-life television program that talks about, you know, life and death. It talks about terrorism. It talks about losing a job. It talks about recession. It talks about anything that you could read in the newspaper today and want to say, well, this is what's happening. How do we deal with it? And we deal with it in our own way, but hopefully with God always, you know, over our lives and holding us in the palm of his hands and keeping things moving forward in a positive way. My favorite line, Simon, here it is, my favorite line from Holy Broken. The best example of what heaven is like is hope.
And that is a great line to wrap up this conversation. And hopefully not wrap up, though, where this possible series could go. Holy Broken. You can catch the pilot film tomorrow night, 7 p.m. East Pacific time on Uplift TV. Again, it's available in parts of the country on cable and satellite, including DirecTV. And also, it's available on smart TV sets and smart devices through the Parables TV programming service. For more details about the program online, you can go to UpliftTV.com, Parables.TV, and the program's own website, HolyBroken.com, where you can also check out the musical sequences from the program. And Tom, I'll tell you what, if you do get the funding and you get to go ahead, open invite, come back on the program, we would love to have you back on.
I'll be here in a heartbeat.
All right, and we will be too. Tom, thank you again for coming on. All the very best with the screening tomorrow night on Optus TV. Hopefully it leads to a full series and hopefully a long-running one down the road.
God bless you, Simon. Thank you, everybody.
You're very welcome, Tom. Take care. Have a sensational weekend.
You too, my brother. Bye-bye.
Tom Hooper joining us live from Garden City, Long Island on Tomorrow Be Televised. One more time, Holy Broken, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Uplift TV and on the Powerful TV programming service on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. That was time for our classic trivia question of the week, and for the first time in several weeks, we have our latest winner. And if I screw the name up, I apologize in advance. But our new winner is Alan Bravicke from Guilford, New Hampshire. That's Alan Bravicke from Guilford, New Hampshire. The question that we posed nearly 2 weeks ago was this. Name three of the four co-stars of the popular ABC series of the late 60s and 70s, Room 222. We also gave you the hint earlier this week that two of the four co-stars were Emmy Award winners in the first season for Best Supporting Actor and Actress. The answer, in order of how they reached the program, was Lloyd Haynes, Denise Nicholas, Michael Constantine, and Karen Valentine. And Alan got Haynes, Constantine, and Valentine as the three correct people. And that's why he won. We should point out somebody else was also in the running that ended up having two of the correct names. And then a third name that was not a co-star, but was in the recurring cast. So we want to thank that person for playing along. And once again, congratulations to Alan from Guilford, New Hampshire. And Alan is going to get One Year of Reality and How Nearly Killed Me, the book by past TWBC guest Deborah M. Wolfe, My Life Behind the Scenes. So that's going to be mailed either over the weekend or early next week at the latest. Alan, congratulations up in Guilford, New Hampshire for playing. We will have a new classic trivia question on Monday's show. And we also hope to have as a prize a new book called Working Actor. It's about a guest we hope to have on this program either next Monday or Friday, who you may have seen one way or another, those familiar faces you see as a recurring guest star on all sorts of different shows, from Modern Family to NCIS. So watch out for more details on Monday. We'll put the question to you then, and if you're first with the correct answer, you will win that prize. So if you know the correct answer when we pose the question on Monday, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name, and as Alan did, your full name and address. First with the correct answer, you will win the prize. And if we don't get a winner on Monday, we'll post the question on Tuesday morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBK. Remember, like Alan did, in order to win, you play in. And when you do, who knows, you could be our next Classic Trivia winner of the week. A couple of housekeeping things before we wrap things up for today and the week. First of all, two guests that we were hoping to have on both today, unfortunately couldn't take it. We told you earlier the week that we were trying to have Juan Ayala, wonderful columnist at MediaVillage.com, to join us to talk about Betty and NY, the Telemundo Nightly dramedy, I should say, that is running weeknights at 9. Unfortunately, Juan could not make it. We found out late last night that he had a special site to deal with, this afternoon to deal with, so unfortunately he wasn't available, but we hope to have him on pretty soon. And also, we've been telling you for weeks that we were going to have Nikki James, the Tony winner from the Book of Mormon, who's also the co-star of Proven Innocent, second episode tonight, 9 o'clock on Fox, Eastern Pacific Time. Unfortunately, we were hoping today we would have her. Didn't turn out that way. Unfortunately, a lot of new things that are scheduled, so we will try to get Nikki before spring is out or before the season of Proven Innocent is out. We'll keep you posted. Once again, Proven Innocent, second episode tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern Pacific Time on your local Fox station. More details, fox.com. Also, we want to give you a quick as an update where we want to catch up on guests and topics we talked about on this program or feature on this program. On Wednesday, we had a show to know about the game show pilots that the Pokemon Array of Television, Nick T. Russell, did, Star Wars and Jackpot, both of which you can see at YouTube. What we didn't know is that while Nick T. Russell did host a game show, we told you about that, your number's up, ran only several months on NBC, then they yanked it, which was unfortunate. He did host another show. It's not technically a game show, but he did host it not once, but twice on BET. It's Juvenile Jury. It's the panel show that was originally created in the late 40s, early 50s by none other than Jack Barry, who later revived it in color in a series that I saw for about a year and a half on WPAX, Channel 11. It's the panel series where five kids get the opportunity to answer other kids' questions on a whole variety of topics, everything from how do I deal with my teacher to any way you could ask me to read a book better. So it was always very popular and also led to a spinoff with the senior citizen gang called Life Begins at 80. Anyway, Nipsey Russell hosted a version of Juvenile Jury from 1983 to 1984, and then a two-year version from 1989 to 1991. So that turned out to be Nipsey Russell's longest stint as a host, Juvenile Jury, on BET. By the way, if you have an idea for a show to know, why don't you send along to us at SimonApple04 at Yahoo.com. You never know. If we use suggestions on the air, of course, you get the credit. It's SimonApple04 at Yahoo.com. And finally, two things, two quick comments. First, I mentioned the Netflix Toronto Production Center that was announced earlier this week. So Netflix, now you have a production center in Los Angeles, and your production center in Toronto, which both I'm sure will be very well used, have a production center here in the Big Apple, particularly now that the Marvel series are now out and about from your service. How about spending some money and create a new programming studio here in New York? We could use it. A lot of producers, I'm sure there are some Netflix shows we'd love to produce here in New York. So how about giving us the space, the resource to do it? A production studio. And Mayor de Blasio, how about working with Netflix to make it happen? I think it'd be a dynamite thing. After all, it was working with Netflix 5 years ago that gave us the Marvel shows like The Defenders, Jessica Jones from the Peabody Award, third season coming up later this year on Netflix, Iron Fist, Daredevil, and Luke Cage. So if all that could be done in New York, and it turned out to be a great, great deal for the city, how about a permanent production studio from Netflix here in the Big Apple? I'll bet you it can't be done. So, Mayor's Office of Media Entertainment, start working with Netflix and make it happen. Okay? Okay. And finally, the Academy Awards are Sunday night, and there is a lot riding on this. It's very clear that the Oscar producers have made mistake after mistake after mistake going in. Everything from the Kevin Hart fiasco as host, going hostless, the best popular Oscar, first, yeah, we're doing it, no, we're not. And then, of course, the whole situation with giving out awards during commercial breaks and having the Cinematography and Film Editing Award do that. They raised the ruckus. Forget that. And now there's the whole thing about Kendrick Lamar or somebody not being able to do the Black Panther music, the song that was nominated for Best Song. I don't know how you get that screwed up. Bottom line, this is a make-or-break Oscar telecast. By the way, good luck to all the nominees. But like I said, this is a make-or-break Oscar telecast. If they don't get it right this time, I hate to say it, but they may never get it right, and that will lead to a free fall of viewership for the Oscars. I keep my fingers crossed, and I'm having, like our latest guest did, hope that they can turn this around. They have to. Everybody is counting on this. And I'll offer one thought about how you can turn this around. Don't make this inside baseball. Don't make this political. Don't make this pro or any Donald Trump jokes. Just have this be a salute to the craft, to the art that all of us love. And let the films be the star, not anything else. If you do that, you have a great shot. And do it within a three-hour time frame. And not make us wait until midnight or near to find who wins the big awards, you might just turn this whole situation around permanently. Up to you, Oscar people. Make it happen. Surprise us on Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, live from Los Angeles on ABC. Monday night, tomorrow, televised, Lily Goldman, the executive producer of The Green Book, Guide to Survival, Monday night on the Smithsonian Channel. And 1 week from today, Trish Kanaki, the executive producer of American Idol, starting season 2 on ABC next weekend. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up, that's what you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget, we're available 24/7 in podcast form several ways on iTunes, Apple TV, Springer's podcast app, and of course, the iHeartRadio podcast network. Go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow We Celebrate in the search bar, click, and you are in. We love hearing from you. What do you think about our guest today? What's your thought about where TV is at and where it's going? Would you like to see Netflix have a production center here in New York? What's your thought about the Oscars of the TV show? let us know. SimonApple04@yahoo.com is SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. I'll be Sunday night doing a live Twitter feed on the Oscars and how they work out as a TV show. And don't forget, you'll also check out my Smartly Televised columns every week now at MediaVillage.com, the great website of media insights and commentary. That's Smartly Televised, our weekly column on the world of advanced television at www.MediaVillage.com. Remember, we love hearing from you. Your thoughts are appreciated. I respond to emails in 24 hours. Why? Because what you say matters. All the time. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants. I would say those of Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or iHeart Radio. Our production associate, BTR, is Candace Williams. Andy Cho is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of BTR are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow's Televised is brought today by Audible.com, proud to be part of the annual New York Television Festival, and an Amazon company. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For three free audiobooks, including new audiobooks in Spanish, audibletrial.com/televised. But tomorrow we televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic weekend. We're back on Monday, post-Oscars, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to this weekend, no matter where, please make it safe and make it great. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.